What we're doing the last couple of weeks is reintroducing the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, so the Torah of Baal Shem, because we spoke about the Baal Shem Tov, some little bits that we know about his life and a couple of stories we spoke about for quite a few weeks. And now what I wanted to do, what I've been doing the last few weeks is trying to understand what Chiddush, what was the Baal Shem Tov, both in Klali, in a general way, what was the Baal Shem Tov coming to bring to the world? What changed? The Chassidim believe that the arrival of the Baal Shem Tov wasn't just the arrival of another great tzaddik, of another great Talmud Chacham. Although, anytime that happens, that's a major event. But the arrival of the Baal Shem Tov in the world changed. It was the beginning of the end. It was the beginning of the days of Mashiach. And it means that it was the light of the Torah of Mashiach, of the teaching of Mashiach, of the way of Mashiach, was beginning to filter into the world at that time. So we spoke about, we're learning a piece in the Igeres HaKodesh. We're going to finish this introduction tonight with a piece in the Igeres, finishing the piece in the Igeres HaKodesh in the Baal HaTanya, and then a small piece from Rav Kook to bring it up to date, to the 20th century. We were talking about the years of Galus, all the years of exile, of our exile, were dominated by what was called, what's referred to as Avodas HaBirurim. Now you recall, Avodas HaBirurim means the work of clarification or rectification. And we learned this magnificent piece in the 26th chapter in the Igeres HaKodesh of the Alter Rebbe, where he speaks about the way that this Avoda, the emphasis of the time of the period of Galus, is on the pilpul d'araisa, the learning of Torah, in such a way where we try to come to understand that we have a machlokis, a bayin rava, and there's a difference of opinion, and that finally to work our way through the Gemara and through the Rishonim and finally through the poskim till we can get lasuke shmeitzel leave the hilchos to come to the halacha. And the Tanya said that that's not just an intellectual event. The Tanya explains, and this is not his own, these are teachings that are based upon the Kisvari and the Zohar Kodesh, that what we're living through now in these days of Golas is a time period of the Eitz Hadas Tova, or the tree of knowledge of good and evil dominates. And in order to bring about this clarification, the emphasis of our Avodah is to try to seek, to find the Tov, the good, that is mixed within the evil, and to extract the good from the evil. And therefore, the process of learning throughout the years of Galus, process of Torah learning throughout the years of Galus, which many people are new to Torah, see us from the outside, or just barely, when they come into the world of the yeshiva, into the world of Torah learning, they see it as something which is completely bizarre. The way that Jews argue over the learning, and the way that we're trying to engage in something hour after hour, year after year, century after century, which seems to be so arcane, which seems to have no relevance to the actual halacha. Why don't we just say what the halacha is? But the Tanya explains, based upon the Zohar and the Kisvari, that this process of struggling with the klipas, with the husks that surround the halacha, to finally be able to extract the truth, the emes, from within that which is untrue, or from within that which is not the halacha, to extract the halacha, and to come through our active role in the study of Torah, we are involved in this wondrous work that's called the work of Birurim, of clarification, of separating between the Tov and Ra. Therefore, the Tanya is teaching us that the emphasis throughout the years of our Golas, and this began primarily with the second base period of the second base Hamikdash, since the first base Hamikdash was dominated by prophecy, by Nevuah. But the second base Hamikdash, that period, which is continuing to this day, is dominated by Pilpuli Daraisa, by the study of Torah, by the study of the oral Torah, primarily Torah Shebaal Peh, which is this process of weeding out, of extracting, of working through the sugya, of working through right and wrong, tamei and tahor, pure, impure, permitted and forbidden, to be able to come to the Ratzon Hashem, to the Devar Hashem, which is the halacha, the will of God, which is the halacha. Therefore, a sad, unfortunate byproduct of Galus is the overemphasis on evil. And until, meaning the overemphasis on the necessary overemphasis, this is not a mistake, on sur meira, on trying to distance ourselves from evil, identifying evil and removing ourselves from all that is wrong. Therefore, the throughout history, the heavy emphasis was on dikduki halacha, was on a scrupulous observance of halacha, and the main concern was, is this permitted, is this forbidden? Which is certainly the role of the Jewish people in during the period of Galus. However, the ultimate goal of Klal Yisrael is called Yichudim, which means not clarifications, but unifications. We spoke about fission and fusion, even in the physical world, these two processes that take place, which both give us the ability to access enormous amounts of energy. It's a question of extracting and separating between good and bad, or bringing together all the kaychas of good. So beginning with the Baal Shem Tov, which the Chassidim believe is the beginning of the revelation of the light of Mashiach Tzidkenu, beginning with that period, the emphasis began to shift. It will not be completely until Mashiach comes, we'll talk about that in a second. But the emphasis began to shift, not away from the fear of evil, the emphasis on evil, away from the external study of Torah, which deals with right, wrong, permitted, and forbidden, and began to move more in the direction towards emphasizing the Asei Tov, the positive, towards emphasizing the study of Pnimiyas HaTorah, the inner essence of Torah. This does not mean, God forbid, that the Chassidim, that the Tzaddikim said that one need study less Gemara or less Torah Shabbat Peh. Chas v'chalila, God forbid. But that together with the study of Torah Shabbat Peh, which is the process of Birurim, of clarification, every Jew must study also the inner core of Torah to his or her ability. Meaning, obviously, does not mean the study of Kabbalah. A person is not prepared for Kabbalah, but it means that each and every Jew has the ability to tap into the Pnimius of Torah, to the inner core of Torah, which is focusing on what is it that everything in existence has in common. That light that all existence shares, as opposed to how do I extract the good from the miserable, from the ugly, from that which is disgusting. The emphasis is now going to turn on what good can we find in everything, and how can we focus on the good in everything and in everybody. And this is the beginning of the Yichudim, of the unification, of finding God's presence in everything, as opposed to trying to snatch some of God's presence and run for the hills, which is what is taking place through history. Snatch a little bit of godliness and just run for your life. The point of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh is now the emphasis is going to shift on being able to detect the Tov, the good, and the light of Hashem, the presence of Hashem in all things, and in every single person, and in every single time in a person's life. And all of the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov revolve around that point, and all of his students. So we're going to finish up the piece in the Igeres HaKadosh, and that handout that you have, there's a separate page that has, that will do afterwards, but in the ones that are stapled, the second page says on a Kuf Mem Hei Igeres HaKadosh, the ones that are stapled. Separate page we're going to do if we have time afterwards, but I'm talking about the ones that we began 2 weeks ago. It says Igeres HaKodesh, page Kuf Mem Hei. And we're up to the period of the Yichudim. Yeah. So if you look on that page, Kuf Mem Hei, the Igeres HaKodesh, or the second page of that handout, around 10 lines from the bottom, it says, Aval B'tzeis HaShchina Miklipas Noga. You see there are brackets right over there. So it says, Avo B'tzeis, this, by the way, of course, the Tanya has been translated into many languages, but the Hebrew of the Baal Tanya is so sweet, it's so clear and beautiful that it would be a shame to mess it up in the English. So let's try to learn in the original. Avo B'tzeis HaShchina Miklipas Noga. That's the day we're waiting for. What we're waiting for is that the Shechina, the divine presence of Hashem, should finally be able to be removed from the prison of Galus, and the prison that we were talking about last time, where we learned that every single time the Gemara says that, the Chazal say in the Gemara that every single time a person is learning Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's considered as if you have taken me out from amongst the idol worshippers. You've redeemed me. So the time will come, soon, Mitzvah, where after all these thousands of years of the Jewish people struggling through their study of Torah and their observance of mitzvahs to free the Shechina, Kivyachol, to free the Shechina from its prison. So when that happens, the Tanya writes, Acha sheyushlam birur hanitzaitis, after the period of the birurim, of the clarification, has been completed. The yufrad harami hatayv, when finally evil will be separated from good. That's why before the end of time, the evil is giving its last kick. Its last kick. And just like a candle, as the tzaddikim say, candle before it goes out, that last flicker, the last koach that evil has now is frightening, because soon is going to be the time when the birur will be complete. Yispardu kolpa le'oven v'lo shalte ilana d'tayi v'ra, and that the time is going to come when the tree of knowledge of good and evil will no longer rule over this world. It will no longer be a world of good and evil, of this mixture, the confusion of good and evil. It says hatayv mimena, and finally the good will be free. Azaylo ye esek hatayv amitzvus levara birurin. This, you can understand why this would get the Baal Tanya in trouble, but it's absolutely nothing that he said on his own. This is all found in the Kisvei Ari. The people who didn't study the Kisvei Ari, or even those who might have studied it, but they felt that the Tanya shouldn't have publicized this teaching, you'll see for obvious reasons why this could be dangerous. So the Tanya says that time will come when the Esek HaTorah, when the study of Torah will not, and mitzvahs will not be primarily for the purpose, levara birurin, to discover what is right and what is wrong, what is pure, what's impure, what's forbidden, what's permitted. That will not be the focus of the study of Torah when Mashiach comes. Kiim, so what will be the focus of the study of Torah? Kim liyached yichudim al yoinim yoiseh. When Mashiach will come, the Torah will be studied in the way of yichudim, which means not to discover what's permitted and what's forbidden, but in the world of what's good, in the world of what's permitted, to come to a deeper and even deeper understanding of the good. To draw into our lives in the highest lights. And all of this will be through the study of the inner light of Torah, the inner essence of Torah. Studying the secrets of Torah. And that day will come when every single Jew, on his or her level, will no longer be primarily concerned with, is this allowed or is this forbidden? But in that world of what is allowed and what we should do, the question will then be, what was my kavana today? What was my intent? Was I able to reach deep into myself? Was I able to come to a deeper understanding of this mitzvah? Did I carry out this mitzvah in the most refined way that I could carry it out? It will no longer be that good or bad, right or wrong. It'll be in the world of what's right. But what is my kavana? What's my thought? What energy did I put into that mitzvah? The karma mitzvah kavana sal yonish shemakavnas daris al yonim kisherish hamitzvah sulamala mala beinstayv baruchu. Because the root and source of all the mitzvahs, it came down to this world where we have shilas. You take out a sefer Torah and it's missing a piece of the letter. It's a shilah. Or you take out the tefillin and the edge of the bias is nick. It has a nick. It's a shilah. Is it tefillin kosher? Is it tefillin pasul? But the mitzvah had to travel down many infinite levels until it entered into a physical thing that we call the box of the tefillin, or until it entered into the parchment of the sefer Torah. That's only the last stop after a ishtalshelus, an entire program, beyond human comprehension, from where that mitzvah descended until finally it came into a physical, concrete object. So when it will come to the days of Mashiach, the emphasis of the study will be to retrace, to be able to take a mitzvah, to put on the tefillin, but each and every person, when that person puts on the tefillin, or that person is mekayim, whatever mitzvah, they're mekayim. That to be able to try to work one's way back, step by step, to the higher iris, to the higher lights, all the way back to the place from where the mitzvah came, to the place of Atzilus, to the place of its origin. One of my favorite stories that I've told here in the shul, and I'll say it just now in 30 seconds, because everybody here probably knows it, but you remember that there was that fellow that I think I just mentioned this a few weeks ago, that after his father passed away, he was having very disturbing dreams that his father would appear to him in the dreams, and there was some idolatry, that an idol that was appearing in the dream with his father, who was a very righteous person, and he was extremely upset about this, And finally, the people told him, even though he wasn't from the Chassidim, the people told him, go to the Rebbe of Zushin. So he went to the Rebbe of Zushin, and the Rebbe of Zushin said, go with the Chevek Kedisha and dig it in the grave, and you'll find over there that when your father was being buried, that the trees fell on top of the Oren in such a way, in the shape of a Shasi Varev, in the shape of a cross. So sure enough, they went, and they found right on top of the Oren was a cross, and they took it away, and then the father was fine. He didn't come anymore in the dreams. He was happy. Everything was okay. When this Jew was later on in Vilna at some point, he was in by the Vilna Gaon, and when he came into the Grah, so he told over that I was by the Rebbe of Zushia. You know, the Rebbe of Zushia, among the tzaddikim, was the least of respected, because he hid his learning in such a great way. So the Vilna Gaon said, and what happened by this Rebbe of Zushia? So he said the Maisa. He said that this is what happened, that he was right, and we found the tree in such, the wood was in such a shape, in the shape of a cross on top of the Aron. So the Vilna Gaon was very impressed. The Vilna Gaon says, "I'm amazed that Zushia knew the Yerushalmi. There's a Yerushalmi that discusses that. So I'm amazed that Zushia knew the Yerushalmi." So the next time that Jew came back to Reb Zushia, he went straight to Reb Zushia. He says, "I was by the Vilna Gaon." The Vilna Gaon was very impressed. He said, "He doesn't know how the Rebbe knew where that Yerushalmi was." So he says, "You can go back to Vilna and tell the Vilna Gaon that Zushia doesn't know the Yerushalmi. Zushia knows where the Yerushalmi got it from. I know where the Yerushalmi got it. I don't know the Yerushalmi. But where the Yerushalmi got it from." So it's hard for us to understand what that means, that the Rebbe of Zushia was in touch with such a world, whatever that means. We don't. He was in touch with that world, and where the Yerushalmi got it, where it comes from. Before the Shtauschlus, till it came down into that place, into that world of the Yerushalmi. So when it's going to be the time of Yichudim, of unification, which we're going to talk a lot about in the Svarm of where the Baal Shem Tov is brought down. So then, it will be, the emphasis will be to understand the root and source of the mitzvah. With the understanding, of course, of the halacha, of course. And he writes, skip the parentheses, turn to the next page. Lachain, he says, but you could understand why in the yeshivas this would be something they would find upsetting, right? Even though it's straight from the Ari HaKadosh. Lachain yiyah gam ikir esak atayra gam ken bepnimius ha-mitzvahs tameh ha-nistar. Of course, our Lubavitcher friends, they sure will be well. You know, that in our generation, they took this to very great extreme, and they brought upon themselves the scorn of not only of Misnagdim, but even some of the Chassidish tzaddikim, where the pnimius ha-tayra, where the study of Chassidus, the study of the inner core of Torah, became more important in many of those circles. In many of the Lubavitcher circles, became even more important than the study of Nigla. Not in all of the circles, but in some of the circles. Became more important than the study of Nigla. But we understand where they're coming from. That it should be that one should think that Chas v'Chalila, that this was Stam from nowhere. But the Baal Tanya was a Goyin Olam, you understand. You know, we know the Baal Tanya wrote the Shulchan Aruch Harav. The same Tanya who wrote the Igeres HaKadosh wrote the Rav Shulchan Aruch. And the Rav Shulchan Aruch is dealing completely with what's permitted and what's forbidden. And therefore, the words of the Baal Tanya have to be taken very carefully, where he speaks about at the end of time, the emphasis of Torah study will not be on what's permitted and what's forbidden, but will be on the pnimius HaTorah, and the inner essence and core of the mitzvahs. Mitamein ha-nistarim, and the hidden reasons behind the mitzvahs. Aval ha-niglas yugluyim v'yaduyim l'kol ish Yisrael. But until that day, we have to study Nigla. We have to put our kaiches into studying Gemara, Rashi, Taisus, into studying Halacha. The main kaiches we have now, we have to put into studying the revealed aspect of Torah. But he says, but at that time, when Mashiach will come, the Niglas will be gluing b'yadun l'kol ish Yisrael. Every single Jew will know completely. The entire revealed Torah will be completely known at that time. He says, not only that, it shall be yediyah b'tchila b'li shikcha, and no one will forget. No one will forget. It won't happen like now that you have to learn a Gemara the next day. It sounds like, you know, I once heard that before, right? But better than that, it's hard to do. Sounds familiar. So it won't be. There won't be any more shikha. There won't be any more forgetfulness. It'll be like it was for that moment at Har Sinai. That moment when we had it, then it was clear. And therefore we won't have to deal with this aspect of Torah, which is the Torah of Birurim, of clarification. Except whom? Except Elul Erev Rav. Except for those Jews who are those who are in the category of the Erev Av, whatever that means, those who those Jews who are not worthy to taste of the tree of life, they first have to spend time, even then, when Mashiach comes, they're going to still have to struggle to purify themselves of certain things that became attached to during the years of Golas. They're going to have a period. These individuals, whoever they are, these individuals, even in the days of Mashiach at the beginning, they're going to have to spend a great amount of time studying the Pilpulim of Torah that we were talking about. In other words, Abai and Rav and the Gemara and so on. In order to weaken the strength of the other side that they became attached to throughout their lives. That they should be able to be purified and refined from all of their avayers. And that, when Mashiach will come, no Jew will make a mistake in halacha. There will not be any mistakes in halacha. Hashem doesn't bring a mistake to the tzaddik. So in that time, when the Jewish people will be on that level of Amech Kulam Tzaddikim, will be entirely righteous. So nobody will make a mistake. It won't happen that you'll take out a safe turn and discover that there was something missing. It won't happen. There won't be a mistake that's made. It's impossible for us to understand such a thing. Not only that, how did Avraham Avinu know to keep the Torah? Chazal said that Avraham Avinu knew to keep the Torah. In Yitzchak Avinu, they knew to keep the Torah. So the different Chazals, when Chazal says that the two kidneys became like fountains that were teaching them Torah, they knew the Torah from within themselves. The meaning of that is that it's possible, he says, to work in the reverse, that in the days of Mashiach, that from the knowledge that we will have of the inner essence of Torah, of the secrets of Torah, we will understand already, everybody will know clearly all the halachas of Torah. So the halachas of Torah is the external part of Torah. It's the external part. It's the outer gate, as it's called in the Tikkuni Zohar, and the Vilna Gaon often referred to the Vilna Gaon. There was no one that was greater in the revealed Torah than the Vilna Gaon. And as great as he was in the revealed Torah, he was even greater in the concealed Torah. And he said that the revealed Torah is only the outer chamber, it's the outer gate. The hidden Torah is the inner gate. So the Vilna Gaon said that the Vilna Gaon often explained that there is a madrega where a person from the inner essence of Torah is able to perceive the outer realm of Torah as well. Therefore, it won't be necessary to learn Mutter, Aser, Tomei, and Tahar. Won't be necessary. Mashain came his man by Yishain. But this is not the case in the period that we're now living in. That we're now living through the period of the second Beis Hamikdash. How Yitzchichim Lasek. You see, the first Beis Hamikdash, I've discussed this very often in the shul, and this is taught at great length in the writings of the Kohen from Lublin. The first period of the first Beis Hamikdash, that period was a period that was dominated by prophecy. And it was the period of Tanakh that concluded with the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash. It was the period of prophecy. That's why during that time, idol worship was rampant. Because because the Jewish people had an extraordinarily developed imagination and the spirit of prophecy dominated within Klal Yisrael, so to offset that, there was the spirit of folly, of shtus, of avodah zarah, of idol worship. But nowadays, we're not interested in it at all. The greatest attraction for people now in modern times in the second Beis Hamikdash is not the imagination. Through the period of the second Beis Hamikdash, is the intellect. It was the intellect. That was what we were struggling with throughout the years of Golas. Only now, we're coming closer to Mashiach, and once again, the imagination is getting crazy. So that used to be, since the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, the most prominent people in society were intellectuals, professors, doctors, thinkers. Those were considered to be the most prominent people. Now it's People Magazine that sells. And now it's the entertainers. And now it's the charlatans and the mishagoyim that are considered to be the most respected and the most important people in society, not the intellectuals. Intellectuals are considered to be, lo yitzluchs. Some guy, you know, a guy with a horn-rimmed glasses sits on the side and looks at his books. He's not with it, because we're getting closer to Mashiach. But this is a recent turn of events. This is a change that's taking place. Rav Kook spoke about this in our century. In our century, where this is turned around. Because because as we're getting closer to prophecy, as we're drawing closer to Mashiach, once again, as Rav Kook wrote, the spirit of prophecy roams the earth, and the sons of prophets awaken. The Bnei HaNeviim are awakening. So, now as we get closer to the end of time, when it will be the period of Yichudim, so there is this feeling there's this fascination with the occult, with the arts, with entertainment, and so on. Whereas throughout the period of the second bias until this century, what dominated was the intellect, which is the process of birur, right, wrong, good, bad, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But the first Beis HaMikdash was a time of prophecy. There were thousands upon thousands of prophets, more than the Jews that left Egypt. There were prophets. But we can't find one. The Rambam was disappointed. The Rambam wanted to be a Navi. Didn't work out. Can you imagine? Didn't work out for the Rambam, and it's not working too well for us either. So the period of the first Beis HaMikdash, that time of Tanakh, when people like us learn Tanakh, we don't understand it at all. We don't really understand Tanakh. People look at Tanakh, like when my children are learning the Nevi'im Rishonim. Yeah, we've all had that. The kids are learning the Nevi'im Rishonim, so my kid will say, it just seems to me like everyone's just killing each other. And what's going on with these kings worshipping idols? And if you go to the old city, the archaeological digs turn up all kinds of Avodah Zarah. It's not just from non-Jews. How could it be such a thing? The further you go back into Tanakh, the further you go back to the beginning, the more you find idol worship, and the more you find prophecy. The more you find craziness and sorcery, and the more you find that amazing prophetic spirit of Eliyahu HaNavi. Because they go zelu mazeh, one against the other. The second Beis HaMikdash that finished, and the spirit of prophecy, as you know, that at that very same time that Avodah Zarah was taken, the Yetzirah, the evil inclination for Avodah Zarah, for idol worship, was taken. At that same time, prophecy ended. You can't have one without the other, and the imagination subsided. And at that time began the period of the Second Temple, which would introduce the intricacies of the Oral Torah, right, wrong, good and bad, which is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And our main work during the time of the Second Beis HaMikdash to this day, till the end of time, till the days of Baal Shem Tov, the main work was the intellectual struggle to come to the truth. To come to God's truth, to the Dvar Hashem, which is the Halacha. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh began to initiate the period of Yichudim, which is the same time as the Vilna Gaon. It's the same time as the Gra, and it was shortly after the Ramchal. This is all happening in the same, basically the same time framework. Ramchal, Vilna Gaon, Baal Shem Tov, the same time. We're all of a sudden, from the time of the Ari HaKadosh in Svas, the Ramak, but that was still a select few, right? There was still a select group. But then already with the Ramchal, and that's why the Ramchal was considered to be very dangerous. Together with the fact that it was coming at the time, of course, right at the Shabbat Tzvi Machshemo. But why was there that fascination with Shabbat Tzvi? That also wasn't stopped. That also wasn't stopped. A coincidence. All of this is happening at the time when there was this awakening, when the floodgates opened up, and the higher wisdom of the end of time began to filter into this world, and there began this awakening to study the inner secrets of Torah. And you find that more and more nowadays. You find that more and more nowadays than ever before, that people who in the past never would have looked at certain Svarim, that they're becoming, people are starting to look into these things, they're starting to think about these things. And it's not a coincidence. But this process of the Yichudim was initiated by the Baal Shem Tov, and that's what the Rebbe is saying over here. Therefore, ultimately, the Jewish people before Mashiach, following the Baal Shem Tov, are not satisfied with simply understanding what's right, what's wrong, what's permitted, and what's forbidden. There's this thirst, there's this desperate search to have Das. Das means to connect to Hashem's Torah on a deeper level, to connect, to understand what is Hashem telling us, what does Hashem really mean, what does this mitzvah mean? And to learn the Pnimiyus HaTorah, if you look at the kind of things that are being translated nowadays, Look, Steve just showed me a book from Rav Kook on Chumash that they put together, Rav Kook on Chumash, and there'll be plenty of people that'll be buying it. Plenty of Jews that are seeking Hashem are going to be buying it. That was 20 years ago, a few people studied Rav Kook, you know, from the yeshiva, and a couple of the Rosh Yeshivas when nobody was watching, right? But it wasn't now the Hamoinam. People are looking. People are reaching. because it's coming back to that time of the, it's coming to that time of the unification where people want to find Hashem's presence in every single thing. And they're not getting that from the page of the Gemara. The page of the Gemara has its awesome role and goals. And only through the Gemara can we come to the light of Mashiach. Can we come to that light of the end of time? But people are thirsting for the Dvar Hashem. People are thirsting, and if we're not going to provide it in the kosher way, they'll seek it in non-kosher ways. Many people do. They'll look for it in non-kosher places. They'll go, whatever, you know, things are available. I don't have to tell you. I'm sure there are plenty of websites that a person can go, cruising or surfing. I know it was the water something. You can go looking for things that are all kinds of quacks and crazy people are offering things that it has to be in a kosher. Hasodius HaKolelis. I don't even know how to translate that. The inclusive secret. You'll see we'll try to take a little bit from what he's saying. It's hard to understand. Smaris HaKadosh. So, you know, Rav Kook had his own vocabulary. There's actually a fellow from Israel wrote a dictionary from Rav Kook's terminology into Hebrew. It was written some years ago, now it was just done again last year. It's more complicated than Rav Kook, the dictionaries. Afilosophia. Rav Kook writes, Afilosophia ain't a mishtaraz, kim al chelik yedua shaloylam aruchani. I'm giving a very loose translation. Rav Kook says that philosophy only is able to spread forth its wings, is able to enter into the realm of a certain aspect of human spirituality. Philosophy can only touch upon a certain aspect of human spirituality. But philosophy by its nature is detached from that which is outside of its borders. Therefore, in its inner essence, philosophy is fragmented. It's broken. Sigul ha'akara, heich kol ha'deos, hargoshos v'hanetios kulam, miktonim v'ad godlam, v'chuborim zevizeh. But if he says you really want to come to recognize, to see, how is it that all deos, all thoughts, all hargoshos, all feelings, all hanetios, all inclinations of the soul, are all, from the smallest to the greatest, are connected one to the other. And how these thoughts, feelings, these emotions all interact one with the other. And how worlds that seem to be totally apart are in truth part of a great order. They're part of a great irgun, part of a great organism. Philosophy does not have the koach, does not have the ability to show how every single thing in the world, all deos, all thoughts, all feelings, all emotions, are connected by one common core. Philosophy can never reveal that. Therefore, he said, philosophy was doomed to remain the portion of the aristocratic section of society. Those few people who were philosophers, it never touched the hearts of the Hamoinam of simple people. Not because it was too difficult, because it doesn't, it's not relevant to them. Only certain people who enjoyed these concepts, these ideas, that were able to study them. But there's something beyond philosophy, Rav Kook writes. And he says that's called sodius. Sodius means secrecy. The secrets of Torah. Sodius. That which is hidden. That which is a secret. The deeper teachings of Torah. That the secrets of Torah, Kabbalah, Sisrei Torah, is able to, and it's by its nature, penetrates to all the depths of all human thought. Shall call hargoshes and every possible human emotion. Shall call hanatias of any possible inclination of a human being. Shall call hashifas, any longing, any yearning. All worlds, may rosh ad sof, from the greatest to the smallest, from the beginning to the end. He makeres es ha. Now you understand we're talking about the yichudim. We're talking about what the Rav Kook is talking about is the period of yichudim, He's talking about exactly what the Baal HaTanya was speaking about, which is the study of the inner secrets of Torah, the Pnimius HaTorah. And he says that it's only with the study of the inner essence of Torah, Himakeres es ha'ichud sheyesh b'chol ha'matzui. Only through the study of the secrets of Torah can one come to recognize that which unifies everything that exists. All that exists. Which sounds completely crazy. It sounds crazy. What does that mean? It means there's a connection between Midtown Manhattan and Lahavdil Yerushalayim. We're still saying the word Lahavdil. Lahavdil. To us, the word Lahavdil is a gullus word. Lahavdil means, let me make a distinction. Right? Let me make a distinction. There's something which is pure and there's something which is impure. It's a gullus word. In man's ideal state, which will be revealed in Mashiach, there's no Lahavdil. Once a person understands the light of Hashem that gives life to that, even to that, wherever that place is, or whatever that thing is, and one will be able to understand the holiness that sustains it, and the external will be something which is silly. Just like when there's somebody that, you know, if you ever worked very hard with a friend or with a child that was having difficulties, and you really, really worked, so you know that could have been the most difficult kid in class. That was a kid that was ruining the class. But if you put in a lot of kaiches, and you begin to see who the child really is, and you understand the child, then the external behavior of the child seems absurd to you. It seems absurd to everybody else in class. The only difference is that you love the child, and you understand who the child really is. And therefore, that which is external in the child, the misbehaving, carrying on, to you almost seems silly. It seems, why are you making such a big deal? That will often happen in discussions between parents and teachers. But a teacher will say, you know, Mr. So-and-so, your kid did the following, you know, thing. Whatever, you know. When I turned around, the kid, you know, threw something and knocked down the clock. So, isn't that cute? That's so cute. You know, the father will think that's it. He's Leibedick, you know, He's a lively kid, you know, we try to talk to him, I'll talk to him. Which in the teacher's eyes, the kid is somehow the reincarnation of the evil one. And the teacher can't understand how do parents deal with such a child. But when you love the child, and especially if it's a child that you had problems with, and you know that the child is good, and you put all your kaiches into the child, when you hear somebody say something against the child that hurts you, you know why? You're making a superficial evaluation. I know the kid. What you're making is a superficial evaluation. You don't know the child. I know the child. And I know the child is good. And that's simply a very superficial manifestation of a problem. But the inner child, I really know that child. So it's hard for us to understand that the time is coming when we're going to understand the inner essence of all things, and therefore that which is on the outside will be understood in a completely different light. It will be understood in a completely different light. We're able to taste of that now. There's a little bit. When you come to the inner light of any friend or any person or any loved one, when you come to something on a deeper level, then you see it, and you see it, and you get a taste of its true inner essence, then the outside doesn't bother you. The outside doesn't disturb you. You're able to handle the outside. It's when you're seeing things only in a superficial way that you become overwhelmed by the outside. You can't take the outside. It makes you sick, and it upsets you. Therefore, the tzaddikim, by the biggest rishayim, the tzaddik was able to see something good, a maila, he was able to say a good nakuda, to see something good in the child, to see something good in the person, in that Jew. Whereas for us, even in a good person, it's hard sometimes to see. You see what's negative. You don't see the light of Hashem, the pnimius, the chayin. But the Chiddush HaRim said that every Jew has a point of chayin, of a charm, of beauty. And he never knows, the Chiddush HaRim says that the Jew himself never knows what that is. Never knows what that is. But a person who knows the person can see the chayin in that person. And that's how the tzaddik sees every Jew. By that which the person can really be. Who the person can really be. This comes from studying Pnimius HaTorah. This is not something that you're going to get necessarily, not at the end of time, by studying a Black Gemara. No matter what they tell you in Yeshiva, it simply is not true. You could find by people very often who are studying Black Gemara, you could find that they could be just as competitive and just as nasty with Allah Shlach Tamidus. And if they're not going to learn, whether it be Musar, Chassidus, whatever it is, if they're not going to try to learn the Pnimius HaTorah, then the fact that they're learning the external of Torah can not only might not necessarily bring them closer to Hashem, but in terms of how they act one person towards another, it might not change anything in the least bit. And you could find people that are learning that mightn't be able to say Shas by heart. But in terms of Menschlichkeit, in terms of understanding a person, they can be far from clarity and far from the truth. It's hard to imagine. It wasn't always like that. But it's hard to imagine that such a thing. But there is such a thing. There is such a metzius in the world. It's not usually the way, chas v'chalila. Usually the more a person studies Torah, when it's done with sincerity, the more it uplifts and changes the person. Certainly.
Isn't this Kedera, the Baal Shem Tov says that when you hear people talking, plain talk, you have to listen to what they're saying on
right.
a higher level.
Right.
Because there's no such thing as simple talk.
Right.
And it works.
Right.
One thing. And secondly, aren't you really speaking about the modern term of spirituality in the sense that that's what spirituality is, the pneumas, because no one really explains spirituality.
No, but the only place where our understanding of spirituality comes from studying the svarim the svarim akadoshim.
I just wonder, what did the non-chassidim do for spirituality?
Oh, there's no question about it. If you learn the nefesh achayim, If you learn the Nefesh HaChaim from Chaim Volozhiner, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And the writings of the Gra, and for those that are less with the esoteric than the writings of the Malbim, and if you learn a piece of Ramban, there's no question about it, that they were addressing that part of us, that they were speaking, and if you learn the Agadat in Chazal, if you learn the Midrashim of Chazal, they're talking in such a way. But of course, the simple person wouldn't know how to read it in such a way. He didn't know how to get it from the Gemara. He didn't know how to see it in the Medrash. So we had great people like the Maharal and the Vilna Gaon that they came and they began to tell us this is the spiritual content of this Medrash. This is what the Agadah is telling us. To this day, with the Tzaddikim and the Gaon and pull away the layers and take simple people like us and say, here, this is what you can gain. This is what you can learn. This is how your life can be changed, can be made more noble by this piece of Torah. But without the Sram, we wouldn't know. You simply wouldn't know.
I guess everyone's neshama is different because certain things relate to certain individuals on the neshama level and certain things relate to others.
There's no question about it. There are neshamas that are connected more to pshat, the more remez, more drush, more sod, and even within sod, there are different levels, and within drush, there are different levels. There's no question about it. The different yidden, different Jews have different parts of the pnimius haTorah, of the inner essence of Torah that they feel connected to and that they could reveal. So some people are drawn towards one thing, other people are drawn towards another thing. But what brings them, what unites them all is that desire to come to the inner core, to the inner truth. So Rav Kook says that cannot be found in philosophy. and he wasn't only talking about non-Jewish philosophy. Rav Kook was talking about Jewish philosophy as well. Meaning he was referring also to the writings of the Rambam and Moreh Nevuchim and the writings of Rav Sadia Gaon. Of course, were tremendous Bali Ruach HaKodesh who wrote those things because they were necessary for those times. But certainly, Rav Kook is speaking about all books that are written, Al Derech HaChakir and Al Derech in philosophy, that they cannot come to that point that brings everything in the world together, which is the point of the Yichudim, of the unification. Therefore, he says, He makaris es ha'ichud sheyesh b'chol ha'matzui. Only pnimis et Torah, only the hidden aspect of Torah, recognizes the oneness that joins all things together. Even on a physical level. The more you study Kabbalah, for a person who's prepared to learn those things, the more you study Kabbalah, the more you understand physics as well. The more you understand science. The more you understand, there are some people that I know in Yerushalayim, one in particular, who's a brilliant Mekubal, who's also a brilliant scientist. And those two worlds are not clashing at all. The more one understands the Pnimius HaTorah, the more, since Hashem gazed into the Torah and created the world, right? The world is created through the Torah. So the individual is able to look deeper into the Torah, he has a deeper understanding of the world. Therefore, the more one learns the secrets of Torah, the more one understands the secrets of the universe. It's that simple. Ata yodea roze olam, esaluma esisrei kol chai. Hashem knows the secrets of all existence. And the more one delves into Sisrei Torah, into Kabbalah, every single thing in quantum physics, modern biology, microbiology, chemistry, all things, you're not gonna see that necessarily if you open up and just learn the pshat. But the deeper you go into the learning, the more you realize that everything is connected. All sciences, everything, and science, from what I was taught, I don't know science, but But from what I understand, from the little that I've read just in popular stuff about science, is that more and more science has been coming since Einstein, has been returning to the concept of a unifying principle. In other words, that there is one point somehow behind everything. The more man understands, the more he realizes that everything shares something in common. The less one understands, the more it seems like separate points. It's the same thing when you're learning. Let's talk about learning Torah. If you're not a person that knows Shas, if you don't know the whole Gemara, right? So when you're learning, if you're learning Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, right? You're learning Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, you're learning Mishnah Berurah. You go crazy. What? I got 1,000 halachas. I can't remember. Right? This and this and that, 1,000 halachas. But you know, Rav Chaim Brisker didn't have problems like that. You know why? Because Rav Chaim understood the Torah in its totality. Therefore, like the famous story that they say, that Rav Chaim once had an argument with somebody that there was a whole fight, and the person said that it says in Tosis, another great Talmud Chacham, Rav Chaim said, it doesn't say in Tosis, and he said, it does say in Tosis, and the other person was more famous for knowing by heart. Rav Chaim wasn't famous for knowing by heart all the Tosis. The other one was. So Rav Chaim says, it doesn't say that in Tosis. So they you know, came to that point where they told someone, go bring the Gemara, and they brought the Gemara, and Rav Chaim was right, it didn't say in Tosis. So they will. The other one was astounded, and he said, "Had it?" He says, "I'm very impressed. You knew that little Tosis someplace in Shas, you know, by heart." Rav Chaim says, "I didn't know the Tosis by heart, but I knew the Tosis couldn't have said that." I know Tosis couldn't have, it's inconsistent with Tosis. Tosis has a consistency, but when you're not a Talmud Chacham, it doesn't seem like that. You just go crazy. Nacha Tosis, another Tosis. And when you're learning halach, another halach. If you understand how Muktzah works, it's a very complicated. But if you understand how Muktzah works, then the halach is boom, 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 boom. But what are we doing, yeshivas? We don't go in that way from Tanakh and work our way through Shas, right? Get a couple of blot and then try to learn and memorize all the halachas. And then it seems like a million halachas and we get crazy. So then we start buying all the English books, you know, trying to figure it out. Right? Because you get crazy. Huh? Or people give up. Or they just say, listen, I'll try to be an elohim, tell me what to do. Right? People give up. But when a person understands, when he understands what Muktzah is, and he learned the Gemaras properly, with the Tosfos properly, and the Rishonim properly, the halachas are not contradicting each. They're not details. Because he sees the underlying unifying principle. It's like that with any chachma in the world. If you start to lecture to somebody about math, and say, "Oh, so you start hearing all these different rules, you can't take it." But if it's a person that really knows it, then the formulas all come out from the knowledge. There's an underlying principle that brings it all together, where it all comes from. Kabbalah, Sisrei Torah, what Rav Kook calls Sodiyut, Sodius, the secret. He says, the secret is what's underneath everything. You don't have that in philosophy, you don't have that in anything else in the world. It's in Sisrei Torah and Kabbalah. To the extent that a person is able to learn that. One comes into touch, into contact with what? With that which joins together all of reality. All emotions. All thoughts. When we hear about, we see different people. Or we know one person, or one person seems to have 10 different personalities. The job of a good therapist is to discover the real person that's underneath all of that, yeah? To understand. But for a person who's not Maris, we say, well, this person's got 10 personalities. I can't follow. I don't cop. But when the person understands the sod, the secret of that person, oh, that's why this. Now I understand. That's the chart and the guy. It's like that with everything in life. So when we're learning, all the years we're learning Mishnayos and Gemara, we're learning the details. Hashem sent before Mashiach, the same time that we have in the world, Baal Shem Tov and Vilna Gaon and so on, what began? Slowly but surely. What did the Vilna Gaon begin to reveal? And then later on we'd be in Vilajan? That's that way of studying Torah Shema Pa. What's the holy meaning of Brisk? What's Reb Chaim Brisker coming to reveal in the world? Why is it that all the yeshivas were taken by Reb Chaim? That nowadays, if you want to have a yeshiva and you don't learn Reb Chaim, you're not going to make it. But you don't learn Reb Chaim. That every single yeshiva bach is saying things like Chetz, Agav, Chalois. Where did Reb Chaim, what did Reb Chaim accomplish? How did Reb Chaim do that? The answer is, all Brisk does, what Reb Chaim did was, he took the same Gemara that everybody was looking at, and he said, if you want to understand this whole complicated thing, there are two halachas. Thus is this. And when you would hear a shiur from a Talmud Chacham from that base medrash of Brisk, it's like, you couldn't believe you were stuck in the web. You were caught in all the intricacies, and you couldn't find your way out with Pnei Yeshuas and with the Marashas. You couldn't get out. And they all knew that. The Rishonim all knew that. And we don't understand. And the Rav Chaim comes along and says, These are two halachas. These are two halachas. And the whole sugya, every single thing in that sugya, anywhere in Shas, you will now understand based upon those two, this one principle. That's what the Rogatchover did. Except he had three instead of two. Everything was three instead of two. But that's what the Rogatchover did. And that Torah is being revealed also together with the Torah of Hashem as we get closer to Mashiach. Unifying concepts and learning, which you never had. Which you never had. When Jews were learning in Europe, or in Sephardic countries, throughout all of history, they were learning this Tosfos, this Rashi, this Gemara, and try to understand, try to memorize, try to come to the Halacha, and so on. But to get to the unifying secret of the Gemara, there were the few. And they didn't speak about it. They spoke about the leaves, not the root. And that's why it's very confusing for people. And that's why any simple Jew who's learning Yeshiva, when he hears a piece of Torah from Reb Chaim, or from Reb Belville, or from Reb Yosha Ber, from the Tzaddikim from Brisk, when he hears a piece of Torah, he says, oh, now I understand. So then you could say, how can a little idiot like you, or me, understand something that our grandfathers had so much problems with? And we understand, and the Torah says that's part of the process of coming back to the secret. That one secret. The one secret where it says in the Lashon of the Tosefta in Sanhedrin is, Kol ha-Toyra kula inyan echad. You hear the Lashon? That means what? The entire Torah is one concept. Wow. We don't see that. Because that's the avoda of the Yichudim. As we get closer to Mashiach, that's what's happening. And that's what we're going to be learning in Mitzvah Shema over the next few weeks, for the teachings of Baal Shem Tov, to find all that joins Jews together with the Ahavas Yisrael, to find the Hashgacha practice in every single thing. Everything the Baal Shem Tov taught can be understood based upon this one concept, Birurim Yichudim. And once you understand what the Baal Shem Tov was coming to do, was initiating, then all of the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov and all of his students, every single time comes back, oh, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about the Yichud, the unification. He's talking about the light that's inside of all things. He's talking about that oneness. He's talking about bringing everything back together. So, the Mitzvah Shem will be able to start next week with an introduction with 10 basic principles from the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, and then we're going to start to learn the Svarim HaKadoshim for the next good couple of weeks, so we actually can see with our own eyes what the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh was talking about. Shakaya.